Hello, welcome back to Battle Plan Roll 6's episode something. We've lost a lot of our previous episodes because, well, Mike sucks.
True.
This is Duncan. With me are two of my regular co-hosts and a substitute co-host.
The new guy.
One of the new guys. As I said, this is Duncan.
Seth.
Mike.
Zach.
Zach is obviously the new guy who's, for any of our regular listeners, welcome back, by the way. Zach's been playing 40K for how long now?
Maybe 6 months.
Welcome to the game. Hope you enjoy 6th edition.
Oh, yeah.
5th edition was fun. So, as I said, our apologies for the past 3 months of absence from podcasting. No, Mike, it's not two, it's three. Because I'm not going to count the Missing Adepticon podcast as a podcast since it's missing. So, it's... The past 3 months, we have been doing a lot of playing 5th edition still, preparing for the ATC team tournament, and
kind of taking a break too. You know, just getting ready.
Yeah, we have. We were a lot of us were very played out in 40K 5th edition. The closing months were everyone was rather tired. So that's the end of that. But we do have a new player with us, Zach, obviously.
Hello.
So, Zach, what do you play?
Guard, and I'm starting Orcs.
So, you've been playing for about 6 months, right?
Yep.
What do you think of it so far?
Having a lot of fun. The new edition definitely throws in a lot of new stuff that I was not ready for. So, I've been having a lot of fun with it lately.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you're having fun with it. What, overall, is your favorite part of playing 40K, and why do you play 40K?
I started off as an excuse to get models and actually do something with them. And then after I played a few games, the big thing I enjoy seeing is like the really crazy stuff that happens. Like when your guy shoots a tank from 3 inches away and the tank shell goes back and blows his own tank up. I had an instance today where I should have won a challenge and the war boss decided to zone out and get killed by something he should have stomped. Those little events like that are just hilarious or just... That one guy holds out for way longer than he should have. Those are the ones that really kind of keep me in the game.
AKA Plague Bearer Destroyer and Lehman Russ.
Yeah. That wasn't mine, thank God. I will remember not to get my my Lehman Russes anywhere near Plague Bearers.
But as all of you know, 5th edition is now officially over. Yeah. It was a very good friend. And we have prepared something as a goodbye to... 5th edition.
We have not prepared this, by the way. This was written by someone on the internet, much like everything else is written by someone on the internet, except for the Constitution and 40K rules. By the way, I'd like to point out something I called months and months ago. The bogus rule set was bogus. I win. Everybody else loses. Thank you. Send me my checks. Seth, would you care to... eulogize 5th edition?
Sure.
He sounds so excited.
Well, I like how it was sitting in front of Duncan, and now it's just handed to me, and so I'm supposed to read what's on this piece of paper.
Not talking enough.
Okay. So.
Project, Seth.
We need some music, but... Okay.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember Warhammer 40K 5th edition, who was generously entered... who so generously entertained us for many years with its beautiful artwork new minis. Yes, 4 years. Apparently 4 years is many years. Fifth edition brought us rending sniper rifles, for once making those cool sniper models worth purchasing.
Yeah.
I disagree with that. Okay. Going on. Our friend also brought us cover saves for skimmers, making land speeders worthwhile. I don't remember taking a land speeder because of the cover save, but okay.
Oh, that's the only reason I ever take land speeders, because I want to get the cover save.
The Orc, Guard, Necron, and Dark Eldar Codexes dazzled us with their new weapons and brilliant models.
Okay, despite the fact that the Orc Codex was 4th edition, so was Eldar.
Okay.
Dark Eldar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Where were we? Oh. Yes. Codex Space Marines wasn't too awful, except for the ludicrous amount of Ultra Smurfs.
Thank you, Matt Ward. We all hate you.
5th edition captured our imagination with 3 new expansions, Planet Strike, Battle Missions, and, of course, Apocalypse.
Which No one ever plays. No one ever plays. And no one ever plays.
Okay.
Are we just going to sit here and make fun of the whole Yule?
Yes.
Yes, pretty much.
Yes, we are.
We're keeping going, though.
Okay. Serious now. Let us take a moment to say our goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay, that was long enough. Fifth edition also brought the rise of orbital bombardments.
Which no one ever
uses. And special character hammer, which had its ups and downs, which I kind of agree with that.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of good characters.
The person who wrote this, not myself, loved being able to use Marbo to blow stuff up that my opponent thought was safe, only to watch his expensive unit explode in ash by a maniac.
Everyone loves that.
I love blowing my own Marbo up.
Go Rambo. I mean, Marbo. Yeah. Copyright.
However, 5th edition also hampered our ability to be unique, as many special warhead and tactics that our armies became accustomed to. And skipping that sentence because it makes no sense. The days of Tyranid Biomorphs, Space Marine chapter traits, and guard doctrines were lost to the simplified static feel of the new codexes.
Thank God.
Yes,
I hated doctrines
true.
With a passion.
I do miss Tyranids, though.
I hated doctrines with a passion.
5th edition also spanned the world of transports as people realized that having units and vehicles actually helped their survivability.
Wow, you mean just like in real life? Metal boxes, yay!
Going along that same line, he comments, imagine that leaf blowers parking lots lists. Wow, someone should proofread. Became the cream of the crop as you couldn't face the Space Marine army without at least two rounds.
Yes, because the Space Marines were the leaf blower army.
Yeah. In the grim dark future, there are only 10 cans.
Because when someone says leaf blower, I think of rhinos, yes.
Yeah. Not chimeras.
We hope that in the next edition we see lots of tactics and blowing up transports.
Yeah, oh God, we already see that.
Well, we got that.
Yeah.
So with this, I encourage my fellow hobby enthusiasts to post their thoughts on 5th edition as we remember 4 years of gaming. Who cares about posting their thoughts on 5th edition? We're past it. It was a good 4 years.
All hail 6th edition. 5th edition is dead.
And this was by Chris...
something.
I don't. Mike wrote this guy's last name.
Christopher.
Poor guy. We can't even give him credit because
no one can read my.
Search for the rye, right?
Mike's chicken scratch here is not legible.
Oh, I can read it. It's
Ryleberg.
No. It's Chris. So
that's close enough.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
He had some good points in there.
He did have some good points. It was probably the best eulogy I'd seen so far. But
5th edition is dead.
Bye-bye. We do have one more 5th edition tournament that we'll talk about later, but for the most part, it's gone. I miss some of it because I miss being able to pound people into the ground, but that's the whole point of the game, is learning stuff.
I miss being able to move rhinos forward, get out, and assault the next
turn. Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll talk about rules in a little bit.
Yeah.
Alright, so we're going to go ahead and go into what we've been doing since the last podcast came out, which has been way too long. So we've all had lots of time to get lots of painting and models put together. I'm going to go first. I've done absolutely nothing, Mike.
I second that, sir.
Come on, both of you have done something.
Not anything worth mentioning. I've painted two models.
Dang. I don't think I've done much of nothing. I put a little fantasy stuff together, because we were playing fantasy there for a bit to try to get a little variety in our life. What about you, Zach?
What have you done since
the last podcast you were here?
Since my last podcast, I had 30 guardsmen and a tank. I now have like 200 guardsmen, 4 Lehman Russes, and a bunch of Chimeras that I've begged off of people for less than they're worth, probably.
That's how you
and
do it.
And have started orcs. Pretty much the same way. Learning to paint. Guardsmen are ugly as sin. Nothing new there. And, yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right, so let's all go ahead and stop that segment because we're going to let Duncan. Oh, wait!
Yeah.
The apocalypse has happened, and Duncan's actually done something again.
So, somehow, and honestly, I'm still not quite certain how this happened, I have gone from having the Iron Warrior army painted before Adepticon, fully painted, to shortly after Adepticon, I painted my Imperial Guard army. All of it. which is somewhere right around 300 guardsmen. Since then, I have decided to scrap my Imperial Guard army and most some of the tanks, and have started my Imperial Guard army again, over again, and started converting every single one of my guardsmen from fantasy Draconian men-at-arms into guardsmen.
Overachiever.
Which has caused me to have to break a whole bunch of my old, my old Imperial Guardsmen and repaint everything again. I've done that already as well. I think that project took me a month. The other Guardsmen took me, I think, 2 weeks. Not really quite certain how that happened, but it did. So, now technically I have three painted armies. Go me.
Three?
Two Guardsmen armies.
Oh, okay. Oh, two whole Guardsmen armies.
Yeah, because one Guardsman army is enough.
Let me know if you don't need that first army.
Yeah, I'm probably going to get rid of some of that. And by some of it, I mean a lot of it.
Golly.
Let's see, what else? I've painted some War Machine stuff, too. I converted some more Iron Warriors. Painted them, too. Painted a whole bunch of tanks. Yeah, I think that I realized I had a problem when I ran through my fifth bottle of Gnome Oil Blackwash. Just ran it dry. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a problem there.
Yeah, I'm still working on it. Yeah, not me. All you gotta do is just find the right brush and you're done. Apparently. But let's see, what has Jack done in the past? Oh, wait, Jack's not here.
Yeah.
We can ask Betty. Betty, what'd you... Oh, wait. Betty's down in Texas.
Betty's actually been painting his demons. I can vouch for that.
Connor's not here either. He's in Colorado. What about Andy? No, Andy quit. Yeah, that's really everything. No one's done anything except me. Yay, me.
We were just waiting for 5th edition to be over. That's what we did.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That took a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Gave me a lot of headaches is what it did.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I'm glad 5th edition is over. Yeah, I loved it. It was fun. It was lots and lots of fun, but I think by the end of it, everybody was tired of the same old game.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, the game became, especially where we started going to a lot more tournaments, we kept seeing the same lists over and over again.
I hate
that. In a lot of places. That really aggravated me. I mean, at least around here, we saw a lot of people play some different things.
Yeah.
Just trying different things. But it came to the point where all we were doing was going out of town to play tournaments. So we kept seeing the same thing. And, I mean, then again, we got in that habit, too, when we go out of town because we learned what works and we used it.
Yeah, but you'll notice none of us used MSU.
Except for Seth.
I did.
Yeah, but you used Dark Eldar MSU.
That's all that there is.
Dark Eldar MSU. Not really a difference there.
No. This is true. You don't see a whole lot of foot Dark Eldar.
Yeah. You know, that brings up a good point. Now that 6th edition's out, what are some of the major changes that you guys have noticed?
I'm seeing a lot more stuff on foot now, but that may just be from the games around here. I've seen a transport maybe once in the games I've played so far.
Oh, you haven't played me then?
Yeah. Well, the problem is that transports, a lot of us play assaulty Space Marine armies. You can't do that in a transport anymore. Because now the rule states that if you go more than 6, you can't get out.
Yeah.
And if you don't move, when you get out, you can't assault.
Unless you're Believe me, up. That rule makes me happy and makes me sad at the same time. My Marines are sad. My guard is happy.
Yep. Now, that being said, I'm looking more about keeping my Rhinos for my Grey Knights. I'm going to roll around the board with four side cannons and shoot them out of the top.
You can only shoot two out of the top of Rhino.
Doesn't matter. I just have two extra.
This is okay. Backups.
Backups.
Yeah, it works. Until it gets you on 3 health points and then blown up.
Yeah. Well, you guys think of whole points. That's a big change.
You know, it doesn't bother me. I play the Metal Box fan. My guard list today was, 14 Metal Boxes with Guardsmen in them?
Terrifying.
Yeah.
And you know what? All points didn't bother me.
I did see a lot more of your vehicles actually wrecked, though, than I normally do. A lot of your, it felt more, just watching your game, of course I was playing other games myself, but just watching your game, it seemed a lot more balanced. Like, people could actually do something to you. instead of those random games where there's nothing that you can possibly do to you.
Yeah, I will say, that's true. I had a lot more stuff get blown up, not a lot of it wrecked.
Uh-huh.
But even so, most of the time, I'm getting stuff blown up under the old, in 5th edition. In turn bottom of turn 1 shooting or top turn 1 shooting, I'll lose a tank or two. This time, I didn't lose any tanks at all until turn 3.
Let me ask you this. You had more wrecks, right?
Yeah.
Did you find it harder to move around because you're having so many more wrecks?
Nope. You know what? I'll just drive over a wreck tank on here.
It's true. What about so how have you guys changed your list since Exition came out?
We've only played 4 games and
well, how do you foresee you're gonna be changing your lists?
Dark Eldar wise, not at all, because it seems like the rules really didn't change the shooting game. It actually made it easier for you to kill things with shooting because of the cover saves.
Yep.
So, I mean, Venom Spam, Dark Eldar's not going to change.
Yeah.
Now, Demons, well, really doesn't change for Demons either.
Well, you're going to see more Demon Princes.
Except, you're going to see more monstrous creatures because the Demon Princes of Wings are awesome now. Flying, doing the Vector Strikes, and being able to soar and glide. Choose what level you want to fly on. But I think the problem for the demon player is going to be being able to be shot at when you assault. I mean, that's, you know, all your mostly bloodletters. Some people are playing plague bears, but of course that's going to affect every assault army.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. Like, when you were playing a game, it was our first 6th edition game. You assaulted me and I actually killed, well, I forgot to do Overwatch, but if we'd had done it, you would have been out of combat a turn earlier and I would have had more guys alive.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a big change. Yeah, it's a 6, but Overwatch is, you know, roll 6 to hit, but still, it'll help.
Still, it's that one or two less guys you're having to deal with in combat.
Yeah. What about you, Duncan? Why is your list going to change?
My guard?
Duncan's list didn't change. He proved that his same list can just destroy me. Just.
I had Vindication, sir. My standard list with guard, my 3 heavy support choices, are a pair of Lehman Russes, a pair of Lehman Russes, and a pair of Lehman Russes. With the new squadron rules, I can leave an immobilized Lehman Russ behind and it can keep firing. It's now another unit. Congratulations, I want to immobilize that Russ, because now I can fire at another target with a pie plate. My pie plates are no longer half strength under the hull if they're under the hull for hurting a vehicle. I'm happy. I like it. You know what's going to change for me? Nothing. I'm not going to change a single thing of the way I play the game, except that I'm probably going to get rid of some of the Meltus spam that I had. I wasn't big on veteran before, but I'm probably going to start including a little bit more plasma just because of the change in the ability to roll up 6 inches and still fire that plasma gun at 24 inches. It'll give me basically another shot out of the top of that rhino hatch.
What about your marine list? How are you seeing that changing?
Well, you know, it's a good question. I don't have an answer for, because I haven't played my Marines since 5th ended. I've been playing my Guard, just getting ready for ATC, and seeing how the Guard have changed. But what do I see changing with my Marines? Hopefully new codex. Because the Chaos Codex sucks. And Karn got gimped really bad.
Yeah, he's now a Power Axe, which we'll get into later, which is a big rules change.
Karn goes last in combat. How does that work? That can actually kind of cheesing me off because of the way I've modeled a lot of my stuff. My Iron Warriors. I mean,
yeah,
they're all axes, aren't they? Yeah, axes and hammer.
For those of you that don't know, the power weapon, a lot of the rules have changed as far as how power weapons go. Everything has an AP value now, which is, you know, pretty awesome. I mean, in my opinion, I think that's pretty neat. I mean, weapons are different. But it's now you buy a power weapon.
And you choose.
It's how it's modeled on the model is what you got, which has really screwed a lot of people over. Duncan, I know, has put a lot of hammers and stuff on his guys, which are now power mauls, which are AP4. But they're concussive, which is a kind of a good trade-off, because, you know, if you don't kill something, it's going to be striking initiative 1.
Yeah, you know, no, I hate that. I put it on there for the aesthetic look of these guys are the siege engineers. They use a hammer. The fact that now I have to count as a maul rather than counting it as a power weapon, that's stupid. It really is. I hope the Chaos Codex brings something into it. because otherwise I'm just going to be pissed off.
And the power axes give you plus one strength.
And you strike last.
And you strike last, but you're AP 2.
Yeah, and you strike last.
And of course, power swords are AP 3, like they always been.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, the.
Oh, wait, no, they weren't always AP 3. They're AP
2. Well, yeah,
you know, they act normal.
They act normal. Do you guys foresee you changing what power weapons you use, or?
Definitely. I run a lot of foot guard, and although I'm not exactly the most competitive player, so take anything I say with a huge dose of salt. Power
AKA
axes,
don't listen.
Yeah. Power axes are huge for guard because power swords really weren't a big deal for us. Power axes let us strike later with more strength, which is what we want anyways. We're hitting before or after everything except for like orcs and necrons. And at those points, we really don't care anyways, so. It lets us split the wounds up and gives us another 3-inch of consolidation or whatever. And that was a big thing for me. I know I look forward to it.
I mean, me personally, I used to use a lot of power fists. I don't think I'm going to be using power fists as much anymore. I think I'm going to be going more towards power axes because of the sheer fact that it saves me 5 points. No, 10 points. It saves me 10 points on my Black Templars. Instead of playing 25, I'm playing 15. So, I mean, I'm saving 10 points there, so it's an extra neophyte. And I mean, you can get picked out anyway, a lot of times, so.
Yeah, because the lookouts are hard.
I don't have that. I don't have sergeants.
Oh, that's right.
And that's another thing on top of it, too. I'm going to have two attacks at AP2 instead of one attack at AP2. Mm-hmm. And if I haven't blown up something anyway by the time I get there, I'm not going to be using it. But you, Seth, you don't even use power weapons. What about for your Marines?
Well, the only problem with changing to the... Wait, what were you changing from? Oh, you're going to have the fist. Power fist.
Yeah, go on to power axes.
The only problem with that is you run into those armies where they're taking advantage of the monstrous creature rules that are flying, or monstrous creatures in general, or Wraith Lords like today in your game, and, you know, now you're back down to, what, strength 6 instead of strength 8, and now you, I guess you're still wounding on 6s, but... Never mind, I think we just came across something. You're still wounded on 6s, so there's no disadvantage to getting rid of the strength 8.
And here's the thing, too. Now, you can use grenades. Mm-hmm. I can take that 10 points and buy grenades for my entire unit. Yeah. I can throw grenades at the monstrous creatures.
Yeah.
Oh, look, crack grenades. Holy crap. I gotta start throwing crack grenades for guardsmen.
Yeah, crack grenades. You can now throw grenades, but you can throw. You can't throw melta bombs. I know that's the one you can't throw. Yeah, you could throw something like 8 inches now. See, if I'd had those today, I would have had a better chance of surviving. So do you think you'll be using power axes, power swords, power mauls, power teeth?
Power feet.
Power feet. Angry power pencil.
Angry Marine style.
Well, luckily, one of my assault Marine squads, only one of them was equipped with a power fist. Unfortunately... That was the one of the two lamenters that I actually painted. So, but yes, I think he's going to get replaced with the guy who's already carrying an axe.
This, all I can say is this sounds like me from several years ago.
But everybody else has got power swords. I mean, I've always been a fan of the power sword.
Yeah.
I figure I was always carrying guns that were going to take out big things instead of carrying power fists.
That's what I was thinking. And I mean,
my Marines all use fists. I'm going to have to remodel all my sergeants now.
Now, I mean, there's going to be some times where I'm still going to use a fist. I mean, I may even do two power axes and a power fist. So that random thing that you might need, you know?
Well, like, with orcs, they really don't have a choice. They don't get power weapons except for burn the boys, so they're stuck with power claws.
Power claws, yeah.
Which is just a power fist. And, I mean, today I definitely was glad I had them. So, I mean, there's still points to it. It's just like for orcs... It doesn't really matter for us when we take them because we're hitting last against everything anyways, and we don't get power weapons, so it's either all or nothing.
Yeah.
I'm hoping this is going to bring more diversity within lists and between people, too, anyway.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I'm not saying power fists suck. I was just saying
they suck now.
Well, I mean, they still have their use.
Yeah, they have a use, but now these other versions of power weapons, that are...
They each have a specialty.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of everybody with Black Templar? Go us. Being stuck with their chaplains having power mauls.
I find it hilarious because I don't have chaplains. Yay!
I don't think it's going to make any difference. I mean,
chaplains? I mean, Cosius Arcanum, maybe 4. Plus 2 strength, so chaplain strength 6. Insta-kills, guardsmen.
characters.
Oh boy.
Ooh, I don't think so about that.
Insta kills Eldred.
All Eldar models.
Insta kills Eldar. I mean, as long as you're not going up against Marines, you're fine.
Well, it's still a power weapon, though.
Yeah, it's still a power weapon.
It's strength 6, so you're wounding on 2s, so who cares?
And yep. You're ignoring everybody's power up, everybody's armor except for power up and Terminator armor. Who cares?
I never thought about that.
It would mess up Horde units, basically. Really
well. Yeah.
So that'd probably be a good point to use it for.
That's really good against anybody that's a character.
Oh, look, non-bikers. Don't get an armor set. And you can wound them on a 3.
That's a point.
You know, speaking of bikers, that's a good question. What do you guys think about the new rule as far as strength is at once you add a strength to something, you keep it. As far as adding
toughness,
toughness. Sorry, if you take a bike, you're now toughness 5, even from insta death. There's no more dropping down to your base toughness.
Yep.
Well,
I love that.
Every orc player I've seen online has started talking nonstop about bringing non-bikers.
The non-bikers are back.
Now, whether I know how well this is going to work, because honestly, I don't see it as the end-of-the-world weapon everybody else does. I do want to get some just to try them and see, but I don't see them absolutely annihilating everything.
Well, non-bikers have 3 problems.
Yeah.
As opposed to the way they were before. Feel no pain is no longer 4+.
Yep, that's huge.
You don't get your 3+ cover save anymore. Mm-hmm. You're now a 5+ cover save.
Now, they got the 4+ still for just regular movement. Yeah. They still have the smoke cloud. You're talking about turbo boost, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, you don't have the 3+ and the turbo boost, and then your 4+ is filling up bank. You'll have a 4+ and a 4+.
Yep.
Oh, sorry. 4+ and a 5+.
Yep.
I'm fine with that. After having played Plasma Guardsmen for so long, I see exactly how often my Plasma Guardsmen kill themselves. I have no problem dropping a 5+ on them or whatever and killing them.
What strength are not bikers, though? 5?
They're 4, but a lot of them are going to be packing power claws. They'll be 9 on the charge.
Or the big choppers that give them +1 strength, isn't it?
+2.
Sorry,
but
+2.
Usually just throw those on for wound shenanigans, which don't matter anymore.
So are they 2 wounds?
Oh, yeah.
They are
yeah.
all 2 wounds.
Now here's the question. Do they count as characters?
They are all characters.
So you can still do shenanigans with them.
And I have done that to both good and bad effect. I had one game where I got assaulted and made 14 out of 16 rolls or something and got to wound allocate like crazy. I had another one where I made 1 out of 10 and the knobs got slaughtered. So it's not a very reliable
go whoever fought that.
Now the lookout cert for characters is only a 4+ as opposed to independent Chargers. Characters that
exactly.
is a 2+.
Yeah.
Now like a war boss, he can throw boys in front of him like a champ.
Yeah, 2+ all the day.
He dodges stuff like crazy.
And bikes get the Hammer of Wrath rule, so they get a free strike at initiative 10.
Strength 4. For knobs, though, it's not going to be very big.
But it's an auto hit,
still
too,
free
isn't
attacks,
it?
Though, yeah.
It might be like one more dead guy.
But still, that's one more dead guy when you're fighting Marines. That's a big...
Now, the other thing I think you mentioned on, since they're all characters, they can all choose their hits on a 6.
Yeah.
And with you're packing a lot of power calls, you're going to get 1 or 2 6s, not to mention the Daka guns going in. And they can pick out possibly a plasma guy or a melta guy if they feel like it. And that's, I think, the biggest thing about them being characters. I haven't had a chance to do it yet, because most stuff dies anyways.
Well,
but
the thing that I think is most important about this is before, when the knob biker mob crashed into someone else's unit, they were using Furious Charge. This would be initiative 3 or 4, or whatever.
Yeah. 4, I think.
Yeah, they were
using
4 when they did that. Now, they crash into that Marine unit and strike 2nd.
Yep.
Because Furious Charge is only +1 strength and no +1 initiative, I think it will actually give it to the mob bikers. I think it gives the entire Orc army and the Blood Angel army.
It was a big kick in the balls.
It was a huge kick for everybody. I mean, I had these great plans to do 20-man blobs of Black Templars with Sanguinary Priests for allies, which we'll get into allies later, but you can't do that. But the Furious Charge no longer being +1 initiative, there's no point.
For my Blood Angels, I won't be using Sanguinary Priests anymore.
I don't think I'll be taking Furious Charge on my Black Templar Terminators anymore. That was a huge thing for me. While I'm fighting against other Terminators, I'll go initiative 5.
I would rather bring Death Templar. Just because of the extra attack, I would rather bring that in.
Well, I mean, I was looking at Straken for Foot Guard, And the whole big thing was you could hit the same time as Marines. That was huge for Guardsmen. Because that meant all your power weapons hit the same time.
They and were the same strength.
And you could really wear them down. Now you just get plus one strength. So whoop-de-doo, I've got strength 5 power axes, but that's about it. I'm still going to lose tons of guys on the assault, so that threw that plan out the window.
Yeah. I mean, the rules, there's a lot of subtle little changes that have changed the game so much.
Mm-hmm. There are.
But overall, I have to say I really enjoy the game a lot more.
I like the changes.
I like some of them. Some of them I don't. I think they're stupid. I really think the additional adding the fortifications at FOC slot, I think that's really going to be metagamed. Because as proven today in my game with James, you have an Aegis defense line. The rules for the Aegis defense line saying each piece must touch one other piece. You have 4 long and short, 4 short pieces. So now you have a 4 plus cover part here, 4 plus cover part over here, 4 plus cover part over here, 4 plus cover part over here. One of those places you have a quad gun.
You basically got a bunker system you can place however you want.
You have trenches.
I think that'll get fact. I think they all have to be touching each other.
You know, the rules as written does not say so.
Yeah. But I think I
agree with James. It doesn't say so, and I think it's stupid.
I think the rules is intended, though. Because even just watching, even reading through the gameplays that GW went through, you don't ever see them split up. Not even in the rule book. Any of the pictures they have, they're never split up. They always have to be touching each other.
Really? Because I thought I saw a couple pictures where they're split up, but you guys are probably right.
Of course we're right. Hush you.
Anyway, I think the FOC slot fortification was bad idea. I think some of the changes, like the altering how power weapons work, I think, while yes, it brings more variety to the game, I think it was stupid. Because that doesn't really reward people who want to convert for miniatures. And Games Workshop is a miniatures company, first being the second. And someone wants to convert their stuff to look different, look unique, and they said, oh, look at this really cool axe. Oh, look, now I've been boned.
And it's like Dante. Dante has a power axe.
Yeah, but Dante strikes last.
Yeah. Who else has power axes? Typhus counts as a power axe.
Typhus counts as a power axe. Karn counts as a power axe.
Some of the Dark Angels assault marines I got the other day, they had power axes on them. I don't know if they came with them. But it looked like they came with power axes. And I don't know if that hurts Dark Angels because I don't play them. But I know guys here who do, and it just seems like kind of a kick to the nuts for a unit that has to hit first and hit fast to suddenly have a power weapon that hits last.
Yeah.
Again, it's a big trade-off on those. Again, like we were talking about earlier, it's just kind of who you're gonna, how you want it to work. In a big unit of 20, like I'm gonna be taking them in, I think it'll help me.
Yeah, sure. Strike last.
Same here.
You know what? I was fine striking last if I doubled my strength. I was fine striking last if I ignored general pain. That power axe, sure, it's AP2. It's not gonna ignore general pain.
But here's the thing:
it's not gonna cause instant death. It's only going to bump your strength by 1. And it gimps the special characters and other generic assault marines, like Sanguinary Guard. There's a power axe in the Sanguinary Guard kit. A lot of the Space Wolf characters have axes. Frost axes, etc. It gimps them. Right? Runic axes. It gimps characters who have a certain aesthetic while giving them a plus 1 strength or plus 2 in the case of the Space Wolves. It gets in other cases. I think it's a poorly done decision. I think it's not going to work as well as intended. And I think that somehow it needs to be resolved in individual codices. Like, I think that the Man Reaper that Typhus carries should be altered, not to count as a power axe. I think that Karn should not count as a power axe, because honestly, Karn with strength 7 on the charge is a little of a bomb. I mean, the Necron size does not count as an axe.
You know, something we've been kind of dancing around is that the fact that there's not a whole lot of AP2 weapons.
No. That's the only reason to bring them.
There's not. Terminators and anything that has a 2 plus armor save has just become
They become very powerful. As tough as they get said in the stories and stuff. They're not as tough, but they're now actually up to that. Like last edition, I could run a guardsman platoon in with a few power weapons, and I'd laugh at Terminators because they didn't have enough attack skillmen. And regular guardsmen were walking up and beating the snot out of Terminators.
I played a Deathwing list on Wednesday against a guy local named Scott, and it was just ridiculous. He could not kill enough guys. Especially when I got into Assault. It was just Terminators were really, really powerful.
And you know, truthfully, in 5th edition, you didn't see Terminators at all.
No.
And if you did see them, it was either in a Deathwing army, or you would have one unit of close assault Terminators, and that would be all you would see.
I mean, you had the rare occasions like Trigger Wing, but yeah. that was different. There was one allocation shenanigans, so you could do it.
Yeah.
I mean, my Black Templar list was two big Assault
Terminators.
Yeah, but they were in Land Raiders, so
yeah.
They survived.
Until they get to close combat.
They still survived pretty good there because I had Furious Charge. They gave me +1 initiative.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So.
But other than that, you didn't want to see Terminators. I think we're going to see a lot more Terminators.
Yep.
And possibly even Meganoms because, like, Orc players have been talking about bringing them.
I think we're also, yeah, Meganoms. I think we may also see more Sanguinary Guard.
Scott used Sanguinary Guard against me. They're good. My power weapons won't kill them.
Strange. It's almost like you need a MP2 weapon to kill him.
Yep. We're looking at a lot more plasma.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned earlier.
I've been bringing it.
A lot more plasma. Which is fine. You know, we gotta change depending on what's going on. But through rapid fire rules, always being able to shoot that 24 inches is amazing.
Guard platoon's got a lot better with first rank fire.
Yes.
You can double tap out to 24 inches and move.
And if you didn't really move that autocannon that's stuck in the back, you're even better.
That is one of my favorite new rules.
Oh, yeah.
Movement is on model-by-model basis, which means if your heavy weapon does not move, you get to fire it on a ballistic skill.
It's really buffed foot units, I think. Or at least guard platoons. I don't have a lot of experience with other armies. But I know that being able to walk up 24 guardsmen with first-rank fire and still have the heavy weapons firing has made them much scarier in my eyes now. I haven't played them up against a real serious list yet, but they can actually kill things now.
I'm thinking that we're going to see a lot more foot lists. I mean, it's just going to be kind of the way it's going to have to go.
Fifth edition was, in many ways, pro shooting as opposed to assault. Assault may have determined how it ended, but shooting determined how the game was played. I think that 6th is the way it's focusing so far. Assault has become tertiary shooting. You disagree?
I disagree.
How so?
I just don't think that assault got enough boosts in the edition to where you're going to see that many assault focused armies.
I said tertiary.
That means less important.
It's less important shooting.
Oh.
Alright, carry on.
Sith has spoken!
No, I was. Okay. Oh, yeah, I thought you said it the other way around.
No. I think that Salt has taken a severe backseat to the game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I don't think the Hammer of Wrath and all this other stuff they've added in is
going to make up for all your stuff.
Yeah. Jump Marines are still too expensive.
Yeah. Something I think's kind of trash is the lack of Fearless Wounds. Where I assault people.
I don't either.
I do.
Orcs love it.
See, that was the thing. That was one of the only ways you could beat Horde Orcs. Was they've got a mob of 30 boys. You jump in there with 2 squads of assault marines.
Well,
and you
fair,
beat face as hard
down.
As possible.
And that's why shooting is even more important now.
Yeah, it is.
Because don't get in combat with them. Because you're just going to bog you down.
We can't run an assault on a log anymore.
Oh, yep, that
we
is
get overwatched.
But you're also one of the only armies that can assault out of bits.
Yep, battle wagons are awesome.
I don't know, but I'm going to 20-man blobs in my Black Templar. Seth has firsthand seen how long it takes to chop down one of those 20-man blobs.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's been that way for
editions,
though.
Yeah, but I mean, so much even for more now. Like, before, you could at least kill me from Fearless Wounds.
That's true.
Yeah. Now, I don't even take the Fearless Wounds, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do have to say this, though. I am taking out a lot of vehicles on my list, but I'm also adding some that I haven't used in forever.
Like what?
Triple-ass Predators. Here's why. Before, in the old edition, Predators were useless. Oh, look, you glanced at me. Oh, look, I can't shoot. There's no point in me even having it. Oh, you glanced at me. You took a whole point. I'm still getting to fire all 3 of my weapons.
Or, look, I moved. Now I'm only firing 1 weapon.
Yeah. Now you can snap fire all your stuff, which is, I mean, and every time I've used them, they've survived because people worried about the 20-man blobs. And they're taking out their stuff as fast as I need it to. I mean, yeah. it just takes a couple of lucky hits. Yeah, I had one game that they didn't do anything, just couldn't hit. That's everybody's game. Sometimes it happens.
Now they can move 6 inches and fire all three down, can't they?
Yeah, one at regular ballistic skill and two at snap fire. Unless you're fast, then you can move fire off three at normal.
Three at 6 inches.
Yeah.
Right, so here's the next question. Snap fire. Good. We all agree we like the rule.
Good, bad. I'm a guy with the gun.
Yeah. So you've got your triple last predator. One is the turret that's twin linked. Are you firing the twin link as your regular shot, or are you firing one of the other ones as your regular shot? And using that twin link to hope to get another six?
I've thought about that so much, but I'm still firing the twin link as the regular because I want to be guaranteed at least one hit.
See, that was something that came up in James' my game today. Do you want to fire the twin link guys or the other?
I've been putting twin linked on guys that are snap firing orders and stuff in my guard, and I mean, it helps more than you would think. I've had autocan shots where I've run autocan teams forward and missed every single shot before the reroll and gotten one or two hits off the reroll and actually done damage with it. So, I mean, there's a point to it. Now, would I put money on it? No. Heck no.
No, would I bet on it? No, but I will play it.
I will play it, yeah.
Yeah. Also, Snapfire, great rules. I think it adds an interesting idea to be able to shoot people when they're charging you.
Yes.
To be able to shoot all your weapons when you move 12 inches. Mm-hmm. Things like that. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. I think it adds more to the game. I think it also kind of gimps any assault army heavily. Mm-hmm. Just because of how much weight of fire they have to put up with before they can finally get to combat.
Yep. Now, that being said, I mean, it's rare you're going to have somebody who you assault somebody and they're going to roll 27 sixes. And they're going to destroy all your guys.
Yes.
But what about the 30-man blob of shooter boys or a 40-man guard platoon that's going to throw down so many dice that they know they're hitting you?
Oh, look, I have 80 last gun shots.
Yeah, I've been the guy doing that today. And I can tell you, Tyranid players do not like it.
I wish they had done something like old fantasy used to have. If you were in so many inches,
you didn't get it.
You didn't get it.
Yeah.
That would have, to me, been better. Because I don't know about you guys, but if somebody's right in my face, I'm going to pull out my knife. You know, if they're trying to kill me. I'm going to try to shoot them, of course.
I'm about to say, I'd shoot from the hip, especially if I was a guardsman, where I know I've got this dinky little knife or a gun that might kill the guy. I'm going to shoot.
I'd use a dinky little knife if I was a guardsman, because truthfully, that last gun I hit too deadly.
No. The dinky little knife may.
The dinky little knife will let me kill myself.
Good point.
That's a good point.
What about you, Seth? You're too quiet.
What are we talking about?
Oh, Seth.
All right, I have a complaint.
Okay.
Oh, God.
I think...
Wait. Okay.
Lots of these rules are good, but just the four games I've played so far, it seemed like it slows the game down way too much. And I don't know if that's just because we are learning, but it seems like there's a lot more that we're having to do within each phase.
Yeah.
And so now, an hour and a half game is taking 3 hours. I mean, so tournament-wise, there's lots of other stuff. Like, are we using any mysterious terrain?
Nope.
Probably not. So there goes part of one of the aspects of the game is new. Are we using the random objectives?
Nope.
Probably not, because that's something else you gotta roll for in the book that's random and that you've got to remember.
That's so, a critical part of the game. I would think they would have kept that.
Well, they've added all these cool things, but you know, how much are we actually gonna see for those people who are playing in the competitive scene?
Now, again, Games Workshop does not make games towards a competitive scene. We're a beer and pretzels kind of people.
Exactly, yeah. But they've given us this, and now we have to adapt, or somebody's got to adapt it, so we need to figure out what exactly it is we're going to have to use to play.
Now, I mean, that being said, we kind of had this problem when we started playing tournaments of 5th edition, because people didn't know the rules well enough. We had to take it a long time.
Yeah.
We had to figure it out. I honestly believe that Because we still, in fantasy tournaments, we still use Mysterious Forest. All terrain is preset, but there's one Mysterious Forest on the table. Oh, let's see what happens. I think that when we get the rule, we know the rules as we get fifth, it'll flow. You know, it'll just be...
I would say that. It's gone for a lot more record keeping.
Now, it's going to be, I don't get me wrong, I think it's going to be a little bit slower, but I think overall, when we learn the rules, it's going to be just as fast as we used to play.
Well, that's how it was in my two games. The stuff we knew went pretty quick. It was flipping through the rule book every 5 minutes that killed us.
Yeah, that will do it. I think some is going to be slower. I think a lot like with the Necrons, there's going to be more record keeping you have to do. Hull points on this, hull points on that, who is just destroyed or what have you. I think having learned new charts, like for vehicle damage table, yet again, just like we did at the beginning of fifth, it's going to take a while. But, I don't know. Will it speed up? Yes, as everybody learns the rules, it will speed up. Is it going to slow down for a bit? Yeah. I'd like to give it 6 months if we can see any serious tournament play on it. And I think at that time, people will start speeding up a bit.
Yeah.
I really think also, and this is something that I'm going to say, most big tournaments, I know that some people on the internet have said we should all drop down to 1,500 points for the first year and do whatever. No. I think 1,850 or 1,999 is just fine. Anything where we don't have to include a second force organization chart.
Yeah.
Because 2,000 points works just fine with one force organization chart. Mm-hmm. Games Workshop, I don't know what they were thinking when they said 2,000 points, you go to two.
They want to send more models.
Of course they do.
The one
I have a problem filling one FOC slot at 2,000 points. I really do. Unless I'm playing, like, Space Wolf. Or something equally as cheap.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What about the new Warlord traits? What do you guys think about those? Do you think it's a neat random thing to the game? Or do you think it's just crap?
I've had good experiences with it, bad experiences with it. When you roll a good power, yeah, it's awesome. And it can change the game. But when you roll a crappy one, like when you're on a board with nothing but like hills and you get Conqueror of Cities, which gives you the move through cover and stealth rules on ruins, you get mad. And it feels like something that's too random to really plan on and stuff. I imagine tournaments will kill it off real quick.
Every game I've played, what I've rolled, no matter what one of the three tables I choose, has been absolutely useless.
There's always one or two on it that are terrible.
I have successfully managed to not care. Because my command company, or my command squad, they sit in the back inside of a Chimera and shoot at stuff. They're not going to do anything else. So if they get out, they're going to get hammered.
Yeah. Now, the only armies it really works for are armies that have big, tough, independent characters that are going to be in the thick of it, like orcs.
Or nids.
They care about it.
Nids?
Care about it. Guard, when I'm running my foot, I care about it a little, but not a lot.
I kind of wish they'd done something, and I'm sure that there'd have been problems with it, but come up with some way where you could have picked within some kind of list, like maybe it was per codex.
Yeah.
Within the special rules section in the rulebook. Like, these are the special rules you can choose from. Your character gets to pick this one. And so he gets an additional special rule.
I think allowing characters to pay for something.
I think that would have been the best way to do it. Just buy them.
I think allowing to pay a certain amount of points to have this character score. Give him feel no pain. Let him re-roll what have you. I think that'd be fine. As it is right now, I don't care about a single thing on that chart. Except making my character scoring, so I can just leave him in the backfield rather than some useful trip. I don't care. As far as I'm concerned, we can just not roll on it, and it won't bother me one bit. But I'll forget to roll on it half the time, because I won't care.
I usually forget what I've got on it, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, yes, it's nice. Pay for it in points cost. Pay for it in some other way. Don't make me have to roll on that chart, because that chart is stupid.
Well, some of the things I've gotten have been pretty nice, like -1 to reserve rolls. That's pretty neat against demons.
Sure, you roll on a 2 on turn 3.
But you just can't play on it. Yeah, you get lucky. It doesn't come across as strategy or anything. You just got to really hope you get the good roll. And that's all I can really say about it.
You know, we kind of touched on fortifications when we were actually talked about them themselves. What do you guys think about the different fortifications you actually get? What do you think you'll use? What do you think you won't use?
Fortress of Redemption.
No, I'm joking.
I'm not using any because I want to spend my points on actual models.
Yeah, I'm that way too.
Vegas defense.
I think that's going to be another one of those things that tournament.
No,
you can't do it.
Well, if you look in the book, you're supposed to place the fortifications before even terrain.
And they're going to have preset terrain.
Yeah.
So I'm not even worried about it.
In a friendly game, I won't care. I won't use them anyway. In a tournament, if it says you can bring one fortification, sure, yeah. I'll bring an Aegis defense line for 100 points with a quad gun. And I'll leave a heavy weapons team back there or a conscript squad back there or something utterly useless. Or a squad of ratlin team. Who cares?
Yeah.
I won't care. They can sit back there. Now it can skyfire. Ooh-ah. Because
Hydra doesn't kill a slug.
Because my Hydra now is actually useless at shooting anything else.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, wait. I didn't build any Hydras to begin with, so I never liked them.
I'm pretty happy about that, though.
I dodged a bullet on that one. I almost made, like, six.
Yeah, well, a lot of people did. I stuck with Neil Russins. Thank you, AB14.
Yep.
At Ipcon this year,
more survival.
At Ipcon this year, I actually played against a list that had six of them. That's a slug.
Hey, we should do a recap for our Adepticon. No, wait, we already did that, and it failed. Mike, I just want you to blame. I just want to blame you.
I'll see if I can actually add that to this.
I just wanted to blame you again, Mike. That's all.
Okay. Wait, you mentioned the Skyfire thing. Let's talk about the Flyers, because that's a pretty huge addition.
Yeah, let's go to Flyers.
I don't have any experience.
The Vendetta beats everything.
So, yeah, Vendettas are even scarier than they were before.
Vendetta, 130 points, and it's worth every single one of them. I mean, it's unlike any other flyer. It has three hull points.
What do you guys?
And it's also on value 12. Every other flyer is either an 11 or a 12 with two hull points.
So Vendetta has three?
Yeah, it's got three hull points.
No other flyer does.
And it's AB12. And it's got extra armor by default. And it can hover.
And for how many points?
130 points, 120, something like that.
Dirt cheap.
With three twin link glass cannons, and it can carry whatever you want it to, pretty much. It's kind of scary.
You know, when I first read the flyer rules, I was a little worried.
Uh-huh.
Just rumor-wise. I was like, man, these flyers are going to be way overpowered. There's not going to be anything I can do about it stopping them. Now I just don't really care about them at all.
I've now played against them, and with, you know what? If you're zooming, you're going so fast in one direction that it's going to be hard to keep focus on a target. You're going to have to deal with other targets of opportunity rather than a primary thing you want to shoot at.
You have one free 90-degree turn. If you're facing the opposite direction.
At the beginning of your movement.
Yeah, if you're facing the wrong direction, you're going to fly off the board, which causes you to be able to do nothing that game. Yeah. Or that turn, sorry.
Yeah, and then you come back on at the exact same speed.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, welcome back to, yes, you'll be able to pick out one target, but ooh-ah. So instead you convert to hover mode like a skimmer, and now your flyer only hit on 6+ doesn't exist. You're hit on whatever.
Yep.
And
so Vendetta's
congratulations, most flyers are AB11 and will get shot down really quick. The little work flyers, they suck.
It's basically giving you the opportunity to put your flyer where you need it to be for one really good turn of shooting, or to disembark against carrying something.
Yeah.
I mean, then it's dead.
I mean, again, that's why I'm starting to bring those triple S Preds, because all I need is one lucky shot.
1-6.
That's it.
Now, can we still have the guys grab shoot out of a Vendetta?
Yep.
If they zoom?
Sure.
Yes.
Can.
So now
the rules for the Vendetta specifically say so, therefore you shoot.
So, yeah. You can also look forward to real air cap lists, I think is what they used to be called, of guys who were praying tons of Vendettas, tons of bets, and
I only ever saw that one time.
I don't think
our
it was very common.
Boys in 2000, and it was our boys right after the IG list came out.
Yeah.
And the guy went to the Nationals with it, and he had 9 Vendettas with a platoon in each Vendetta.
That sounds cool.
It was.
It was pretty cool.
And you know what? Yeah. He won. He took first the semifinals and got it was Kirby. Well, not Kirby. It was the guy who won our boys the year before that with Macron.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was brilliantly played.
He was a nice guy. He bought a bunch of sisters with that. You remember?
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. Because they sent me like 6 of the whoever the big main character is, he sent me six of those. I can't even use six. He said you get. Well, never mind. Our voice isn't even around anymore. But the big thing about flyers is that if you shoot them down and somebody's in them,
they're dead.
Yeah, you're gone.
You mean a strength 10 hit with no save allowed? You know what? Congratulations. You're flying at 300 feet in the air, and your chopper just got shot down. You're probably going to die.
Yeah. I like the fact that it's more realistic, too, because wherever it hits,
it explodes.
And it does damage to the people that are there.
I love this idea. I think it's marvelous. I also think it's a great idea that you cannot jump in hand-to-hand combat with a fly.
Yeah.
Because, ooh, look, I'm missing because it's flying and I'm on the ground.
Yeah.
Now, my one biggest fear that I was afraid they were going to do was the minus 6 inches to all weapons that were flyers.
That would have hurt.
Because that's the way Forge World rules were.
Yeah.
That would have been, in my opinion, that would have been stupid. It would have been way, way overpowered, and no one would have been doing anything about it. You wouldn't see nothing but flyerless at that point in time. Oh, just got to stay a few inches away from me.
Yeah.
Now, 6 inches do hurt more than you would think. I mean, I'm not upset against Dark Eldar. Because you get used to, Seth has fun memories of that game of autocannons that never got to shoot.
What's his problem? 72 inches in range with a battle cannon? What?
I don't think you can snipe planes with battle cannons. Although I really, really wish I could.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool if you could.
You know what you can snipe a plane with?
Punisher?
Yep.
I can't wait to get
it. Look at me, I have a Punisher!
You're talking about, you only need one shot.
Yeah, I had 20 of them instead.
You know, on the same...
Yeah, but you only need one.
True.
Well, that's just the extra 19 of redundancy. I really want it to die.
Okay.
How you guys feel about flyers always having to be in reserve? Does that bother you? Is that okay?
It makes sense to me, because that's how it would be in real life.
I'm going
to
deviate for a second and go into the reserves.
Oh, okay.
You can't reserve all against an IG gun line.
Unless you have a special rule that allows you to.
Yep.
Woohoo.
So there's only one arm.
Face break.
Dark Eldar. Not Dark Eldar.
Demons.
No. Deathwing.
Deathwing,
yeah.
Deathwing has started. Deathwing. No, Deathwing. It says you can put... You can put your army in reserve, is how the rule is. Half of what you put in reserve could come in, so you can put the whole thing in there.
Okay.
Which is what I did against Scott, and I had seven 5-man squads of Terminators, each with Cyclone missile launchers. I had four come in the first turn and blew up all his vehicles.
I think the fact that the Descent of Angels army is now doesn't work, I think that's horrible. I think you should still be able to reserve all. I understand why they didn't do it.
You could.
No, you can't.
Well, you could put your troops in there, put your heavies on the board, and then put them in.
Well, see, my question is if flyers have to be in reserves,
do they count?
So if you're playing Blood Angels, yeah, does that count? So if you take three Storm Ravens,
does it say that? Dude?
Then can you still put half of your army in reserve voluntarily?
Nope, you have to put three
Storm
Ravens
in reserve. Or is it involuntary?
You have to put the three Ravens into reserve.
So that's got a good point.
I think that's part of it. If they have to go in reserve, I don't think they count for the half and half.
Yeah, because that was one reason I started Blood Angels. I wanted to do a full set of angels, everything in reserve, and they can't do it.
Curse you, Matt Ward.
Now, could you not put just like some really dirt cheap units on the table to use as like beacons or whatever?
Only Heretics, Storm Warp Dust, and probably Matt Ward.
And probably Matt Ward.
I don't know if that's an option. It's probably not a good consolation prize.
No.
As expensive as Blood Angels are now.
Yeah. Now, what do you think of the fact that flyers are mobilized?
they keep going?
They just keep moving?
You stuck the rudder and you can't deviate? Yeah, that's great.
That makes sense. That's what it would be.
They just jump off the board every turn. Man, I'm off.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I think it's well played.
Yep.
And I don't have a problem with it. I'm not scared of flyers.
I'm not either.
I wasn't scared of flyers to begin with.
I was. The minus 6 inches really bothered me. Some of the rules. I wouldn't see anything with 90-degree arc. That bothered me. I had these images of these flyers coming in and just staying up there and just shooting you to death. Because you couldn't hit them. There was no possible way to do anything. Now playing against flyers, I have no problem with them. Bring them. I don't care. I'm just going to shoot you out of the sky.
Now, the problem is the codexes we play don't have problems with. And orcs, even though they're an old codex, they don't care because firing at ballistic skill 6, oh boy, we only hit half as much. Well, ballistic skill 1, my bad. But they only hit half as much as they used to. they already roll buckets of dice to make up for that, so they don't care. I mean, it didn't bother me one bit. Guard have stuff to kill air. I'm sure all the Space Marines have some way of killing air. Now, what about guys like Tyranids and some of the older codexes?
Tyranids,
Hive Guard are going to see.
Hive Guard are going to see a huge comeback. Now, here's the thing too: psychic powers, which we won't get into right now, but Tyranids with the new psychic powers have become okay, especially taking Zone Throats. We're seeing a lot of people take those because they can shoot them across the board. What about flying monstrous creatures?
I haven't
been keeping with flyers.
Most fun in the whole game.
They are awesome.
Oh, yeah, I love flying monstrous creatures. I hit you with a las gun, you can fly out of the sky, but I can't hurt you.
I think that's awesome.
Wait, we can shoot them with las guns and knock them out of the sky?
Yep.
Yes, there's a rule that every time you take a hit.
Not a wound.
A hit.
Oh,
they have to make a stabilization test.
So basically, first rank fire, second rank fire is just now a giant fly swatter.
Yes.
If it can wound something.
Yep.
No, they don't have to wound it.
Just have to hit.
Just have to hit.
I mean, like, they have to be able to.
Congratulations.
No. Just shoot him. The way the world is.
Blind him with blast guns.
Yeah.
And here's the neat thing. It's a strength 9. It's strength 9 or strength 10, Seth?
Strength 9 if you knock him down.
Strength 9, no armor saves allowed.
Right. Yeah, that's all in good. Yeah, that's how you take him out. But.
And then he's on the ground, which means you can assault him and shoot him as normal.
Yep.
Yeah, but, the fun thing is what he did before that was he moved 24 inches, crossed over one of your vehicles, popped it open, he lands, the Demon Prince, Breath of Chaos is one of your units. I mean, yeah, he can get really hurt if you knock him down, but he can do so much damage flying high. So
really?
They are pretty cool.
So he flies over, he's strength 6, he smacks the side of my tank. He rolls 13. One die to penetrate. Strength 6 plus D6 of 6. Can't do it.
Yeah, but when you fly over the back of one, you take a whole point off?
Yeah, yeah. If you roll 4 better on that D6.
Yeah.
50%
chance. That's pretty good for me.
I'll take
one whole point off.
Especially when you're getting to move 24 inches in one turn with it.
Sure. I'll let you take off one whole point on a vehicle.
I know you'll let me. That's not the point. The point is, it made flying monstrous creatures awesome. I don't care what it does to guard. It just made it so much more fun, though.
They are cool. I mean, they're a lot of fun. You bring them in that game, it took everything we could do just to shoot them.
I thought jump hackers should be able to just do that.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good thing to add to them, because they're so freaking expensive. They need something to really make them stand out.
Well, and then and on top of that, if you are soaring like that and don't shoot, they get to, I think, run. Well, it's not a run, but they get an additional
flap,
like 3d6 or 2d6 inches in the shooting phase if you just want to wiggle more. So, I mean, you're getting where you want to go.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see a lot more Hive Tyrants.
Flyrants.
Flyrants everywhere. Plus, because they can take psychic powers too, and they're just going to be crazy. As monstrous creatures, you know, I think me and you're the ones that actually do it. Like, have monstrous creatures, Seth. Do you like monstrous creatures better now?
Yeah. Because I'll do that vector strike thing all day long. Just because it's fun.
What do you think? Do you like a 2d6 for penetration, or do you like the new smash roll?
No, I like the new smash roll.
I have to agree with you, too.
Because when you're not soaring, and you're floating, or whatever they call it, drifting, something.
Gliding.
And you walk up to a vehicle, and the vehicle's your 10 and your strength 10, and the vehicle didn't move, there's 3 auto hull points and it's gone.
I mean, it made little monstrous creatures even better. I mean, even my Trevagons, they're strength 5, but oh look, I'm hitting you with 2 attacks that are strength 10 now.
Those are the ones that are about the babies, right?
Yeah, baby poopers.
I ran into those today.
Yeah, you should see my list.
Yeah.
6 of them.
5.
I bet.
Yeah. I think it really made monstrous creatures more. I think it certainly helped the Tyranid Codex. I think it helped the Demon Codex. I think both codexes still have problems.
Yes, majorly.
And I think that they should have done the same thing with the Necron on the command barge.
Oh, the douche canoe.
The douche canoe, yes.
Yeah. The douche canoe?
The douche canoe.
I've never heard it called.
The Necron Lord on a command barge.
Where did this nickname originate?
Thank you, Pat and Neil, 11th Company. I don't know if you came up with it, But yes, Douche Canoe. It is stuck in my head continuously.
Crap, now that's all I'm going to be able to think about.
He flies over, does the same thing, strikes on a vehicle, what have you. He's a base 4 strength plus 2, so he's a 6 strength, and rolls 2 dice.
During his movement.
Yeah,
and then I've seen it. Still gets to shoot and do all this other stuff and take over vehicles with like some kind of psychic power or something. And
you know, speaking of an army that just became ridiculous, Necrons.
Oh yeah.
I'm glancing everything on a roll of a 6, so there goes your whole points. My one squad just destroyed your Lehman Russ squad.
I've heard warriors are
Necrons just became brutal.
My one and only transport has four whole points, quantum shielding,
and it can dodge out of the way even though it's a building.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. It's the monolith.
And the only heavy tank in the game is the monolith.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's hilarious.
So, monoliths just got scary tough to kill now.
Scarier, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the heavy tank roll does, but it gave them something pretty special.
It gave them more shots and another hull point. So, another hull point 4?
Yay! Hull point 4.
So they had, the base for.
The transport, though. The transport's got 4 hull points.
The transport has 4 hull points?
Ghost Ark, baby.
Ghost Ark has 4 transports. That's what I was saying. It's got quantum shielding. It's got 4 hull points.
Necron just became insane.
And it's open top, so they're shooting out of it.
Did Matt Ward
they're completely protected.
Oh, yeah. If you look in the front of the codec, if you look in front of the rulebook, it does not have a written mod. But according to...
They did that on purpose.
According to rumor on the internet... And several people who are close to people at GW, yes, Matt Ward wrote 6th edition.
I still believe that Matt Ward isn't a real person. That when everybody writes a codex, they're like, who will take credit for this? Not me. Matt Ward wrote this one.
Well, you do see his picture in here a few times playing with the maze and stuff in the opening thing.
It's a random person.
Shh. It's Matt Ward.
Okay.
Of course, it's just a mannequin.
Yes. It's a mannequin with a puzzle
arm. There he is right there with his weird sweater V-neck vest thing in the pocket watch.
We now know why Necrons kinda sucked in 5th edition, weren't as good as we want them to be.
Because they were written for this.
By the way, listeners, we have another small problem that needs to be discussed and mentioned. Mike does not know the ramifications or meaning of the word divs.
Oh god, why'd you bring this up?
Because I had to, because we were talking about Necrons.
Oh, okay. I know.
I'm going to leave the room for about 15 minutes because Duncan's just about to go on a rant.
No, I'm not about to go on a rant. However, I will go on and like mention that the next time something happens and someone gets a free army or gets a chance to talk to Jamie, I'm going to kick him.
Caboose. Oh, look, Caboose came up. Yay!
Might be Caboose if...
You sell an army to someone when you've already promised it to someone else?
Oh, Jamie and the Necrons.
Ah, the money.
Matt Ward.
Okay, I'm done. So, okay, let's move on to something utterly different in the game that is new to 6, that's kind of a throwback to 2nd edition. Psychic power. There's cards. No one cares. There's exact same powers as are in the rulebook. I don't care. I'm going to cast Battle Cannon. The end.
I cast you, Battle Cannon. Go!
I cast the special power that turns your independent character into a squig. Everyone's happy. That's about all I really care about as far as psychic go.
What do you guys think of the new psychic powers?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I think about psychic powers. We're playing fantasy. That's all we're doing. And I'm choosing which college of spells I would like to cast. I'm getting them all random, and I hate
it. You hate it?
Yeah, I'm not going to use it.
It's just like the command traits.
Wait, Eldar don't have psychic powers.
Yeah, but Blood Angels do. And I'm going to use the ones out of the book. I like them better than any of them.
I don't know, some of the psychic powers are pretty cool.
Well, like,
example, but you're not guaranteed to get them.
That's the thing. But like, for example, Biomancy Endurance, which gives them... feel no pain, it will not die, and relentless.
Holy crap!
I had that on a 30-man guard platoon with plasma and autocannons. That thing turned into a walking death machine. But I've got a 1 in 6 chance of getting it.
Yeah.
And you cannot build a plan around that. Nope. As funny as it is to watch guardsmen walk around and just eat wounds and just spit fire out like a boss.
But you know who has a good chance of getting it? His name is Mephiston. So Mephiston can get the very first power in Biomancy, which I think is plus
Smite.
Which is plus one strength, other stuff.
The Smite's just 12-inch.
It's basically
strength
just
AP 2.
AP 2, though.
In Biomancy?
Salt 4.
Yep. It's Smite. It is a Witchfire range 12 inches, strength
4. No, Iron Art.
Oh, Iron Art. Is a blessing that targets a Psyker whilst the Pyre is in
effect. That's not the Primus power, though.
No.
Psyker gains D3 strength and toughness, and gains the Internal Warrior strength, or special rule. Yeah, the Biomancy powers are really awesome.
Yeah, the Biomancy powers are pretty cool. I mean, taking Nids with those is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Guard with those, Orcs, if they had a Psyker worth it. Guard can get Biomancy.
They can?
Yep. Yes. We get everything but the divination ones that let us like have normal build six go on Overwatch.
And what is
that would be broken.
What is what is Will Not Die? It's like on a roll of
It's like kind of like you can regenerate wounds on multi wound models. The only reason I care was because if I got a wound on a heavy weapon team, I had a chance of getting it back.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And now here's the thing, I mean, just like in fantasy, if you roll doubles, you have to pick what power you want. And you can always get rid of one power and go to the Primus power.
Wait, three roll doubles, we have to
pick your power.
I didn't notice that part.
Unless I'm being a complete idiot, which I may be.
Well, like, the Biomancy powers are pretty good. The Divination powers are scary.
Yeah, some of the Divination powers are just awesome. What is it, is it Misfortune that you're forced to reroll all successful saves?
Yep, all successful saving throws.
That was killing demons when Betty was playing. It was just destroying him.
You've got Forewarning, which targets a single friendly unit within 12 inches. When the power is effect, the target unit has a 4-up embalm.
That's a really good one.
You've got Foreboding, which is a big one. That gives them counterattack, and they fire Overwatch on full ballistic skill. Doesn't change which weapons can do it, but that's a big one. You've got Perfect Timing. They gives their weapons ignores cover. So Divination's really good too.
But the base power's not too bad either, is it?
Prescience, I think it is. Unit gets to reroll all failed hit rolls. So Divination's a good one. And there's a reason why Guard can't get it, I imagine.
Yeah.
But
here's the thing, they can if they ally with Space Wolves.
Yep, and James has been using that to very good effect lately, I've noticed.
Yes.
He brings a 40-man Guard platoon and sticks a Wolf Priest in it and just starts rolling on Divination and hopes he gets some of the real crazy ones, and if he doesn't, he just puts the Prescience one on.
Pyromancy is pretty pretty interesting because it's got that Soul Blaze rule, which catches your soul on fire, which means for the remainder of the game, I think it is, that you,
I think
you take
you have
a wound.
To roll to see if it goes out. So you get a stop, drop, and roll, I guess.
Stop, drop, and roll.
One of them gives you a built-in psychic melt.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
One of them gives you a small blast whirlwind thing that didn't look that great. The Pyromancy ones didn't seem that awesome, too.
They're not as good as you think they would be.
Yeah.
The Soul Blaze is pretty neat, but that's about it.
Well, like, their base one just gives you a flamer, basically. Yeah. So that kind of gives you an idea. Or a heavy flamer. Telekinesis. These is not the one I'm thinking it is. The next one's Telepathy. That's the scary one.
Yes.
Telekinesis. I haven't really looked too much at them. But
it's got, like, Gate of Infinity in it, I know that, which is, you know, it's in the Space Marine Codex. The Vortex of Doom's in there also, which is, they're just reusing that.
Yeah. I mean, nothing in there ever really stood out to me, because, I mean, I remember Biomancy and Telepathy and Divination were the three big ones that I noticed, as a Guard player, at least.
Yeah, you go to, like, Telepathy, that's a big one. I got Psychic Shriek used on me today. You roll 3d6, and then minus whoever targeted your leadership, their leadership from it, and then they take those wounds automatically. So if you roll, I don't know, 18, and they have leadership 10, let's just give them high leadership. Yeah. Leadership 10, they're still taking 8 wounds. No armor, no cover saves allowed.
And the big thing you'll probably heard on the internet with Guard and Psyker Battle Squads. If you see a guy with Psyker Battle Squads and he's taking Telepathy, he's probably going to try and do this. Let's see, where is it? There's What the Psyker Battle Squad can do is they can lower your leadership. I can't remember the name of the power, but you can drop them down to leadership 2.
Yep.
And then you cast Psychic Shriek, which you can get automatically because that's the primary's power. And you're basically doing D3, 3D6 wounds at minus 2, and that can really gut a powerful unit.
My wife used it against me today when we played, and I lost 1/4 of my unit. Automatically.
I cast Battle Cannon.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's the only one that you can reliably get on, and that's one of the scariest ones, I think, that at least a card can do.
And it has hallucination in there. It's pretty cool, too. It's like a psychotropic grenade for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's pretty much the main powers.
I think invisibility is another good one out of that.
Yeah, invisibility is not bad. That's good for Tyranids or Horde armies. That's a good one to put on them.
Yeah.
I think that's about it. You guys have anything?
I think Seth's done.
I'm sticking to Codex powers.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's about it for 6th edition. Take a break there.
There's obviously a lot more about 6th edition, but...
which we'll get into later. I mean, oh, you know, something we didn't cover was the facts and how it changed stuff.
Yeah. Literally facts, changed stuff. It just made things make more sense for 6th edition.
It changed Black Templar. Black Templar no longer have preferred enemy for accept the challenge. We now have Rage, which Rage is pretty cool. That's kind of a pretty good trade-off. Oh, I lost my rerolls, but I get an extra attack. Yeah, that's okay.
I wouldn't complain about that. I think that the change for not being able to leave people around is actually really, really good with Rage, because it actually makes it definitely useful.
Yeah, and they went through and added a lot of for this codex only.
Guard,
so you can't
stuff like that.
So you can't use allies, and that's something else we didn't touch on. Are you guys going to be using allies?
I will, but probably for different reasons most people would.
Why?
Because I only own about 500 points worth of orcs, and I really want to play orcs. So I've just been throwing guardsmen in as points fillers, so that I can play with my orcs.
That's a good reason.
But once I get more orcs, I think a good living carpet of orcs and guardsmen could work well. I just have to play around with it and see what I need to do, but I am not the average person when it comes to allies, so I probably have the best take for that.
What about you, Seth? You using allies?
Nope.
None at all?
No.
Why not?
I just don't want to buy more stuff.
Not even if you already have it?
No. Because, I mean, I want to play a specific army. I don't want to play two or three different armies put together.
Yeah. How do you think it's going to change tournaments?
I don't know. I don't really care. I just shoot at things again.
Duncan?
I don't know. We gotta wait and see. I mean, we're just a week into it, you know, and there's just not a whole lot to say about it yet until people start coming up with all these things and putting it online and, you know, the masses start weighing in on what's good and what's not, and they do all the work for us, and then we'll figure out how to beat it. That means we either may or may not need allies.
That's true.
We'll see.
You know, allies, nice, great. Yeah, okay. I will cast Battle Cannon and be perfectly happy with that. I think each codex now is going to be strong enough on its own to do whatever needs to be done for it.
Those that haven't told yet, Duncan's boring.
I might be boring, but I believe in solo codex armies. I never used the... I didn't ally with... what was it? Back when you could take the Inquisitor and all the other stuff that let you jump on people and fire a battle cannon shell, the mystics and all that stuff. I didn't use that then. I don't really see any need to change now.
I'll probably use an ally. I just like some of the things. Like I played a Grey Knight, Terminator, and Imperial Guard list. That was my second game. It was kind of fun.
The only thing I can see that really adds to it is people that like to do casual games and make fluffy built armies. It gives a big thing like I can make a Blood Axe army now, and I can throw in Imperial Guard tanks, and I can make all my guardsmen Gretchen, and I've got a honest to God Blood Axe army if I went through the effort to model it right. Is that what the average person's gonna do? No. Average person's probably just gonna take advantage of throwing the best of two codexes together to get a power, but we'll see what happens.
That's what we were trying to do initially, is trying to
Break the game.
Trying to break the game, which the fact stopped all of that. There's only three things that can actually cross codec now. The Fate Weaver. The
Custom Force Field. And that one's sketchy. I'm still not sure about that one.
And there's one more that I can't remember, which wasn't very important at all. But that's about it. That's pretty much it for 6th edition right now.
There's going to be some more to come. We don't have full everything yet. We will eventually.
We don't even know how things are going to go. We're all still trying to figure out lists. I mean, we're trying to figure out what changed, what we need to do, playing test games. And, you know, that's going to take a while.
Yeah, it will.
Took a while for 5th. It's going to take a while for this. Deep Strike's not as, you know, not as damaging now, so Deep Strike's actually valuable for Terminator, so you may see a lot more Deep Strike and Terminator lists. That may be a way to go now. We just don't know.
And the only way we will know is if everybody plays more games.
Yep. Anybody else have anything else to add?
I'm good.
Yep, I'm good.
That's a typewriter. Okay. Now, rumors with Jack. But wait, Jack's not here. So now Duncan's going to do it. Duncan?
Stop the typewriter for the love of Pete.
I mean, wow.
I was waiting for the chainsaw to start up. I mean, really. Let's see here. Rumors. 6th edition is coming out soon.
Wait.
Really? That's what I've heard. Yeah, I'm done with the rumors. I heard nothing. Oh, wait, no, that's not true. Let's see here. Supposedly, Forge World is going to be producing codexes that are for use with regular 40k. These apparently will be sanctioned by GW, will be used in GW games, tournaments.
We're so, talking like Salamander codexes.
Yeah, so
like
Salamander's
codex, basically.
Like mini codexes.
Yeah, like
which is gonna be
nobody
cool.
Really knows everything about it yet, codexes.
Yeah.
Which, if they're done right, it'll be really good for allies.
Yes.
If they could do stuff like the Herd or stuff like
or
that.
Like Rud. Arbites,
yeah,
or guards or something.
Yeah, that's the thing. No one really knows how it's going to work out yet. My guess is that rumor's probably bunk.
Yeah.
And that more than likely what we're going to see is something along the lines of new stuff being released to use White Dwarf, or use Forge World rules being released in White Dwarf rather than sold as individual codexes. Because if there's one thing that doesn't sell well for GW as opposed to the rest of their lines, it's White Dwarf. I mean, it's, you know, they're looking at us promotional magazine, and they don't really do anything with it.
I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, if it's done right, it's going to be nice to do stuff like that.
Yeah. If Forge World does it and produces their stuff, and their stuff is more commonly available through a regular friendly game store or through even more Games Workshop stores or a Forge World store, that's fine. As it is right now, I don't think that a lot of people will be expanding their game by going and buying Forge World stuff.
We're also hearing rumors about a Forge World being open here in the United States.
Yeah, maybe a Forge World may come to the United States. You know, Games Workshop has opened so many stores and closed more stores and opened more stores. I don't think it's going to matter, to be honest. If they opened up a Forge World store, it would probably be somewhere close to Chicago or one of the big cities where they already have a Games Workshop store, so that if it doesn't work out, they can just fold that right back into the GW store.
Yeah.
Which would make sense.
I thought it was supposed to be a Forge World factory was getting made in the U.S. so they could ship it everything.
I've heard that too.
I hadn't heard that part.
That's the rumor I've heard, is that they're making a factory just like the one in Britain in the U.S. to distribute.
Just like we have in Memphis.
Wait, so they're going to hire two more guys to sit there and sculpt things?
Yeah,
I guess.
Probably.
Yeah.
There is no factory. I mean, it's two guys sitting there sculpting and casting resin stuff,
which sounds
all
like
day
a
long.
Lot like all the other game companies out there that that's a 40k too.
Yeah, that's just what I heard.
That would be cool if we could stop paying all that crazy shipping and, you know, we'd actually have real prices.
Yeah,
that'd be really nice. Rather than I've got to convert into English and then into metric and then into pounds,
rubles.
And then maybe the rubles is only if you get it off that one guy who sells it all on eBay.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Let's see here. What other rumors?
There's also the starter box. We're hearing. We know for sure that it's
Chaos
and
Archangels.
We kind of know what's in it.
Not plastic Chaos Dreadnought was one of the things, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be the Hellraiser Dreadnought though, which is actually in the 40k rulebook, which looks pretty neat.
Yeah, I thought it was coming with 20.
Cultists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
what do you mean by cultists?
Cultists. Like, look at this. We have Guardsman Samurai.
Traitor Guard. Yet.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. But they'll actually look like Traitor Guard, which would be cool.
That'll be nice.
We're also looking at. It's gonna come with some bikes, some Terminators that people aren't gonna use, because they're not the ones that you would actually use
in Deathmaker.
Yes. A couple plasma guns, which goes back to, again, to everybody using plasma. A librarian and a captain.
Yep.
Which will be cool. I like to see a librarian model.
Whereas the Chaos Army will not have a librarian and a captain. It will have instead just a...
was it Terminator Lord?
Terminator Lord and a... Yeah, I think it's just a Terminator Lord.
Just how much stuff is coming in this box? Because the way you guys are talking about it, it sounds like there's a lot more stuff than the Assault on Black Reach box.
There is.
There is.
Well,
Assault on Black Reach did have a lot on in it.
It did.
Only on the Orc side.
Yes.
Well, Space Marine side was pretty good because you could buy, back in the day it used to be $50. I remember when it was $50 when I started playing. And it was, I bought like 5 or 6 of them and built me up an army pretty fast.
Yeah. Let's see, what else? There was a rumor I've heard that is confirmed, supposedly, that the new codexes will be done in hardback.
Oh, man.
Yep, so there's that.
And that was semi-confirmed.
That was semi-confirmed.
Huh. Hooray for $50
codexes.
Yeah. That's gonna hurt. Yeah. I'm lugging those things around. I already hate lugging around the paperback.
Yeah, I agree.
And see, I'm getting so used now that I bind all my stuff now.
Oh yeah.
Which makes it so much easier to use when I'm playing a game.
Let's see.
That's gonna suck.
There's Codex Chaos is the next codex, followed by Dark Angels.
Not necessarily. It's looking like Dark Angels maybe like summer next year. Or they're going to get a White Dwarf update, and they're going to put it off like they did Blood Angels.
Well, sure, they're going to do something.
Well, the Dark Angels are in the code, or in the box.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. Nobody's given us any kind of anything about it.
We see that was,
they're not seeing anything on them.
When 5th Edition came out, it was Orcs. The Orc Codex came out, and then the Space Marine Codex came out.
When 5th Edition came out, it was Orcs, then 5th edition, then Space Marines.
Yeah. And they put them in the box for that reason.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we may get the same thing.
Yeah, we never know.
But the Dark Angels Codex is really old, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not the oldest. The oldest right now belongs to Tau.
Is there sure it's not Black Templar?
2005 is Tau. Black Templar, I think, is the same year.
So there's a
the Tau came up before the Black Templar one did, I believe. I could be wrong.
We just know they're old.
Yeah, they're old. I don't know of any other rumors.
That's about it. I mean, there's not really a whole lot out there because our 6th edition just came out.
And but it's been clamping down really hard still.
We've got little tidbits of stuff. Like, I'm pretty excited about the Starter Edition box. I would like to see it come out. I'll probably buy one.
Adepticon dates have been announced. Mm-hmm. For the weekend of the 17th of April, after tax day.
If you are listening to this, get your hotel room now.
Yeah.
They're going really fast already. I know Team Scabbard has already got we got 4 hotel rooms because we just want to make sure we have enough going.
Let's see, what else?
I haven't heard anything that's incredible.
That's pretty much it.
I think we can call that Rumors with Duncan, which is Jack sucks and isn't here.
Yep, that's it.
All right. Jack failed. So it's time for the final 5th edition tournament for us that I know of. Next weekend in Cleveland, Tennessee, the American Team Challenge for championships or whatever the heck it's called. The ATC.
There we go.
Something that has absolutely nothing to do with the ETC except...
Except the winner gets to go to the ETC.
Yeah. No, what, do they?
Yeah, I think they do, don't they?
I don't know.
I don't know. All I know is we're going to face one of the ATC teams over there. So
we're going to face several ATC teams because
We will face some of the ETC players over there.
So this year we have me, Michael, and of course, Duncan, Seth, Betty, and Jack.
Yes.
I'm playing Grey Knights.
I am playing Necrons.
Jack is playing Space Wolves.
What?
I'm losing guard.
No, I thought Jack was playing Tyranids.
Oh, he's just screwing us now.
Yes. I am playing Imperial Guard.
Well, then I'll play Sisters of Battle.
Oh, then I'm going to play Demons?
Eldar. Footdar.
Now that'd be too competitive.
Taking nothing but Guardians.
You're playing Blood Angels with nothing but Deathgun.
That's fun.
Yes, yes. We can't have fun in 5th edition.
All joking aside, Seth's taking Dark Eldar, Duncan's taking IG, I'm taking Grey Knights, Jack's taking Space Wolves, and Betty is taking Demons. Looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun.
I think it'll be a good last hurrah for 5th edition.
4 games on Saturday, 2 games on Sunday. We're heading down Friday night. We'll be in the hotel. Whoever's going down there, please shoot us an email or something. We'll love to meet you down there. It'll be good to see Pat and all the guys from London Company. I know they're going.
Yep.
I'll
get to see Reese's again. That'd be cool.
Yeah. We can put it on our blog.
BPR6podcast@gmail.com. Do you know how to reach us via email?
Say an email address that doesn't exist?
Nope, it exists. BPR6podcast@gmail.com. I know, so I registered it 4 months ago.
When was the last time you checked it?
4 months ago.
There we go.
All of a sudden the fans know why nobody has answered their questions yet.
There you go. Yeah.
But it'll be a lot of fun. Please feel free to stop us. We're hoping some of us are going to try to get down there a little early so we can actually go into Shane's shop. Shane's the guy who actually owns Dicehead Games, him and his wife. They always put on a good tournament. It'll be a lot of fun. We can't wait to do it.
We really can't wait to do it because the last one of their tournaments, one of our members won. That makes us happy.
We got first, second, fifth, and tenth. So we did pretty good last time, so we're hoping to go down there. But there's going to be a lot more competitive people there this time. We got a lot of people from Bow Lost Soul is going to be there.
Wrecking Crew is going to be there. Wrecking Crew is
going to be there. Love Company is going to be there.
Frontline Gaming people are going to be there. It's going to be fun no matter what.
We're going to have a lot of fun. I can't wait to do it. We're hoping to do some interviews for the next podcast. Everybody has an iPhone, so it should be good.
Seth doesn't have an iPhone.
Seth's not a real person.
Oh, well, that's fair.
My phone's better.
But that's about it. We also have the Feast of Blades coming up in August. There is a qualifier here at the Rusty Scabbard on the 5th. We'll get some times out on the if you're very interested, please give us a call.
Sign up. Calling?
The Rusty Scabbard. I said that.
What's the number of the call?
859-278-6634 again. That would be 859-278-6634.
Space is limited, please.
Sign up ahead, call ahead, register, whatever you want to do.
There's also one the day before that.
At the Battle Forge.
Also
in Lexington, Kentucky. In fact, it's literally like just a mile from the Scabbard, which is kind of awesome.
There's just a lot of, this is kind of a central area for everybody who lives in Kentucky. If you don't live in Kentucky, you're more welcome to come down too. That's not a problem.
Yep, and if you want to register for the Battle Forges tournament, that number is 859-277-3937. Again, 859-277-3937.
Also, if you're a store in Kentucky and you'd like to host an event, I think we're willing to have one more. You can give me a call at Mike at 859-621-1050, and that's 859-621-1050.
And if you can't reach Mike there, you could also reach him at his other phone number, 867-5309. Just ask for Jenny to answer the phone for
him. All right, now that we're done advertising, I think that's about it for the day, guys. It's good coming back. We're all really, really excited about 6th edition.
Except Zach, he's kind of depressed.
Yeah. We all don't like Zach anyway.
Nobody likes
him. He just got started in the game now. He's got to start over.
Exactly.
Terrible.
I didn't even know 5th rules yet. And I was like, oh, yeah, everything you know
changed. Don't worry about it. But I think that's about it.
Sure. Yeah, I'm good. So,
wrap these speech up.
Okay, I guess we can do that. And I'm going to ignore my 40K lore for the week, or for the podcast, because truthfully, Games Workshop just came along and screwed the lore by doing things like putting squats back in. Yes, for people like myself who own a squats army, this is wonderful. For people not like myself who don't own a squats army, you suck.
I know which army.
Wow, that's like everybody.
Yeah, I know.
You all suck.
Okay, now you can find Duncan at the ATC. He's the bald one that looks like he's got something stuck up his
Holy Passage?
I'm the one who looks like Jamie Heineman.
Yes.
Unless I have my hat on, and then I look like Adam
Jamie
Savage.
Jamie Heineman with a hat on.
Yeah.
You'll know him when
so,
you see him.
So, 4 battle plan roll sixes. Team Rusty Scabbard. This is Duncan.
Not Jack or Betty, but Seth.
Mike.
And Zach.
And not Andy, and not Connor, saying good night. I'm not going to do that.